Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other, podcast from IlliniBoard.com. Here's what's happening right now. I am sitting in... Johnny, where am I? Is this the dining room?
We are in, yeah, our dining room.
Is this really... Hold on. I guess it is the dining room.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm sitting in Johnny's dining room. I'm in Chicago because my wife has a work dinner. I've come over to Johnny's place. Johnny from the boardroom. Josh has joined us over here, and we have decided to do another 17 questions episode, which is they come up with 17 questions. They don't tell me the questions. We did this last year. They don't tell me the questions, and I just answer the questions with no research, nothing in front of me. You can tell the folks that I don't have any computer in front of me, and my phone is down over here. This is just straight off the top of my brain. But first, say hello, Johnny.
Hey.
Say hello, Josh.
Hey.
Okay, now you know their voices and who's going to be asking the questions. We're going to get right to it. This is 17 questions. Let's ask question one of the 17 questions from Johnny. No, Josh is starting.
Let's start. Yep, exactly. Okay. You wrote about we should be talking about the guys on the field and not Ryan Walters.
Woo!
Which player has been the biggest revelation to you the most through the first four games?
That is a fantastic question. Oh, do we get? Yeah, can we say whose questions these were?
These are all Johnny's. One from Dan from Field Pass. One from me. From.
So you'll tell us when Dan's question is and when your question is.
Okay.
Yes. First, how did you guys react when you saw that I had written something that said "Stop talking about Ryan Walters"?
You were subtweeting me.
I was.
Well.
In our we had a text conversation, which I texted Josh and Maddie and Sam saying, so who do you guys think our defensive coordinator is next year, Kevin Kane or Andy Boo?
Yeah. Yes.
And then I tweeted out the Bill Connolly stats right before you did. And then, I feel like every single person, you're just subtweeting. You showed us what your mentions were, but it was more of just like, we're all talking about Ryan Walters. It made me think maybe I should trust the players on the field who are performing out of their mind, but I want you to.
Yeah.
Go. I think if Ryan Walters were to read the article, he would agree with you.
Yes. I was curious. Since I was out of town, I didn't go to the press conference. I was curious if he would say anything. If I asked the question, it was if he was made aware of stop talking about me, huh? Because he talked about the Kirby thing last year, but he loves that. He cares only about the players, and he's not just given lip service. Anytime he's asked a question like that, he'll be like, guys, people like to dog the players we were given, it wasn't working and it was a failure. I have some really, really good defensive players. You have to understand. In a sense, he's setting up for if he is here next year and six of these guys are gone, it might be a step back. And then he's like, well, what's happening? Well, a bunch of NFL guys left, I've already not answered your question.
It's been a minute and a half. I'm looking at the time.
Okay. Okay. The question is, who has been the biggest revelation? And my answer is, it's got to be Calvin Avery.
I was expecting Quan.
Yes.
But...
Quan I've been hyping since he was for five full seasons. So... I don't think I say the biggest revelation has been Avery. I thought the biggest step back is you don't have somebody in the middle who's going to eat two offensive linemen on every play. I thought losing Rod Perry was going to be this massive thing, and you take that away, and suddenly you just aren't getting what you're going to get from Newton and Randolph either side. On top of that, if you remember. For the spring game, they do the white jerseys for the first stringers and this and that.
Yeah.
T.Y. Edwards was on white and Vertus Brown was in white and Calvin Avery was in the blue jersey or orange jersey, whatever they used that night. He was third string nose tackle after Perry left in the spring. And so for him to come from, I don't even know if he's going to get on the field. Like, he had a lot of snaps last year, but he's third on the depth chart coming out of the spring. For him to go to that two solid defensive lineman who's playing really, really well and is the anchor in the middle of this defense, and you could tell when he got injured the other night, there was a little bit of a step back. You know, to go from A to B has been massive for this defense.
This is not one of our 17 questions, yes. But at the beginning of the season, you put him at, do you know which number on the 90 line eye?
Maybe 30, 29, something
it was,
like that.
It was 30. What is he right? What is he right now?
Oh, he's in the top 15. Yeah. He's easily in the top 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I put T-Raw higher than him, didn't I? I think so. I mean, T-Raw was injured, so it was hard. But I think I might have. Where'd I have Virtus? Maybe I had Virtus lower.
T-Raw was 24.
And Virtus was like something like 37 or something like that.
Yeah. It'd be great if they linked together.
You mean like on a website where you have like a list on the website?
39.
Okay. That'd be interesting. With a website that's easy to navigate, that would be pretty cool.
Like a drop down.
Yeah. We should talk
to Brumby, are you listening? Or?
He is not. Yeah. Trust me. Okay.
All right.
Question number one, the answer for me is Calvin Avery.
Okay, so we've been able to see some of the twos and threes get reps and blowouts against Wyoming, Virginia, Chattanooga. Who are you most excited about of the twos and the threes other than Matt Bailey?
God bless it. Did you just
he was leaning into the mic.
I was leaning in to say Matt Bailey. Yeah. I was going to give 3 minutes on Matt Bailey. Oh, my gosh. Did you?
It really says other than Matt Bailey.
Can you confirm that on the Google Doc?
I can confirm.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now I have to, like, I just had already walked my brain down the first 45 seconds. Okay. Other than Matt Bailey, twos and threes. Oh, that wind just came out of my sails.
Okay.
I think I'm going to say Alec Bryant. And Alec Bryant in a sense, you wish that he was the one, you know, after Ezekiel Holmes got injured. Alec Bryant's a third-year player. So you want the third-year guy in front of the first-year guy in Akis, right? Or Akis. Got to get that right. You want the third-year guy to be. But, you know, this is Bryant's real first year on the field. I just noticed on Thursday night when he came in on some run plays that he's pretty stout. Like, he's really big and mobile, and that's helpful. You need, like, against Wisconsin this weekend, you're gonna have to have a guy, you know, Gabe's probably not ready for that pulling guard at Wisconsin. You know, this thing is about to
he's
step up.
He's a true freshman. Yeah.
Yes, about to step up a massive level, and they're gonna trick, and they're gonna pull, and they're gonna do stuff to confuse him and this and that. And if there was nothing behind him, I'd be like really scared. But the little I've seen from Alec Bryant now, I know he's had an injury and he's kind of limited in his range and motion and everything else. So hopefully he's 100%. I know he hasn't been yet. So, maybe it's because it was my biggest concern. Maybe it's because I was scared to death of, oh God, if Holmes is out, we just have two names there. Can you rely on a true freshman and a red shirt sophomore who's never played? But I really do think it's solidified that for me that you have this second guy who's just a, I guess, yeah, he'd only be a red shirt freshman, right? Because he had COVID year, red shirt year, and now red shirt freshman. So to have a red shirt freshman there to help take it some of the pressure off of Gabe is nice to have.
Solid. I would say I've been like slightly pleasantly surprised by Kanena Odaluga and Rosiak. They've been like, I feel like some of the back four guys, they haven't really trusted any of the young guys. Like, I guess you see a little bit of Keontae, but some of the linebackers look decent. But I will give you now the floor to talk about Matt Bailey, because I know we were all ready for that 3-minute spiel.
Yes. I mean, it's just like, I feel, at this point, I feel like I'm overhyping the kid. Like, there is just something when I'm watching defensive backs that I just sense a awareness with some guys. I sensed it with Kwan. Bennett Williams, his very first practice. There's just guys who have a heads-up awareness of not just reading the quarterback, but like, hey, that tailback may double back and be over here, and I'm really the only guy who's going to be there to clean that up if that happens. He just has this sixth sense ball awareness that you can't teach, you know. And for him to be rangy and for him to have length and for him to break up, you know, he should have two interceptions at this point. You know, like for him to show all those other things in addition to those, that those awareness skills, that's not really a right way to say it, but like the fact that he, that he's that sixth sense kind of a safety, it's just going to be hard to keep him off the field. Like, I feel like he's going to start pressing, pressing Kendall Smith for some snaps. And I feel like he's going to, you know, they got to get him ready. He's going to be the anchor of the defense next year. So, yeah, it's that is the find of the decade for this staff to get a kid in January in Moline, who, you know, if he could be starting right now, he could be on the all freshman team. Like, he's that good.
Thank God he was injured as a senior.
Yes.
Okay, so when I was evaluating the team preseason, I thought our starters were very competitive with the other Big Ten teams, but our depth was going to hold us back. Do you think we've solved that depth problem, or is that going to plague us later in the season?
How do I name Johnny official question asker of IlliniBoard.com? Or can I just do that? Wait, yeah. It's my site.
Yeah. Should I just put that in my Twitter bio?
Yes. Yes.
Official question asker.
Yes. That's a fantastic question. Ask it again so I can reformulate my thoughts, and then I'll hit it.
Yeah, so it's evaluating the team preseason, thought our starters were Big Ten level competitive, but our depth was going to hold us back. Do you think we've solved the depth problem, or is this something that's going to plague us later in the season?
I say it's going to plague us. We've been fairly healthy so far, and no one makes it totally healthy all the time. And there are certain positions, like just say offensive line. We have six offensive linemen. Seventh might be Zach Barlev. It might be because I can't come up with a seventh offensive lineman, we have six offensive linemen who are ready. You know, the seventh, you're going to be going to a younger guy who's maybe not there yet. You know, there's other positions like, you know, okay, say you lose Tip Reiman for two games. Who's the next tight end to come in? Is it Henry Bohr? Is he ready? Is it Griffin Moore? Is it, you know, who's the guy, since they like to run with three tight ends, who's the third tight end that they go with if one of these guys is out? I'm just not at the point. I feel better about the depth, but I'm not at the point where I feel differently than I did preseason. It's just that these starters have been so significantly better than I expected when I was predicting 4-8.
Speaking of the starters, though, for now, a lot of the football is based on matchups. Which teams on the schedule do you think we match up well against, and which ones are going to be more of a problem?
Have we gotten any non-Johnny questions?
We're just I feel like you
rolling with the Johnny
like,
question.
I feel like you don't listen to our interviews because that's like all Johnny's questions, which is totally fine.
So not only have I done it, I've outed myself as coming over here. And like, do you even listen to the Boardroom? Have you heard of the Boardroom? Podcast from IlliniBoard.com, available wherever you get your podcast.
Coming back soon.
Coming back soon to talk about basketball. Because we have a pretty good basketball program. Can I be completely honest?
Yes.
I forgot the question.
Matchups. Which teams do we match up well against? Which ones are more of a problem?
It's so weird because it's different than what I was thinking. When my brain goes to what I wrote in the preview. And now I would totally change it with what we've seen from this defense. Because I don't think we know yet. Like our, you know, what's that stat? Like we have the longest streak of passing touchdowns given up or whatever that stat is.
Yeah, like not like, allowed it.
Yeah, haven't allowed, you know. And so everybody talks about the pass defense is, you know, but it's kind of a function of everything. Like if, say we lose on Saturday and Wisconsin like rolls up to 400 yards on us. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say it's Wisconsin, but like say when the next team really rolls us, I don't know if they're going to roll us through the air or on the ground. Like I feel so good about the run defense right now that I could say, you know, we're going to struggle against Purdue because they're going to throw all over the field on us or something. But then it's been so long since we gave up a passing touchdown, it would be ridiculous to say that. the teams I mean, look, we do have a disturbing pattern of a lot of yards and not the points you would expect with those yards. We put up a ton of yards at Indiana and only score, you know, didn't, what was the final score? 23-20. We put up 20 points with all those yards. You know, even Virginia, which, you know, the offense only scored 17 points with 400 some yards. 500 yards against Chattanooga gets you 31. There's still a bit of a, this isn't that explosive of an offense, so we can't get any shootouts. So maybe Purdue. I'll be honest, of the rest of the games of like which one would surprise you that I worry about that I don't think we match up the best with, it's Nebraska. Like they're bad and they have a bad defense, but they will get that offense moving, and I'm a little worried about that game when it does. Like I'm not worried about Northwestern. I feel like we'll dominate them. But I am worried about that road game at Nebraska, one that people are counting as a win. I just don't like the matchup for us there. I don't like that it's on the road. I feel like we could do something where we beat Minnesota and we're on this super high, and then off the bye week we're snoozing at Nebraska, who wakes up a little bit under their interim coach. So I'll say bad matchup is Nebraska. And probably good matchup is Michigan State. Like I feel like we can really do some things against them.
Yeah, they kind of looked soft against Minnesota.
Yep, I feel like our defense can shut down. You know, they have weapons, but I feel like our defense can do a big shutdown job. I think our defense is built to stop exactly what they. I was watching. I don't watch that much college football. I watched Washington, Michigan State. And I remember thinking, watching that game, like this is the exact matchup we need. You know, I didn't know they were going to get blown out by Minnesota, but watching that game, I was thinking, like, okay, this is a Michigan State team that we can handle at home.
Okay, I'm going to do something that you haven't done in a while on IlliniBoard.com, and that's talk about future recruiting classes.
So what are those again? Could you remind me how does that work? So you add player and they pick your team?
Exactly. So okay. The staff has to like recruit them to come to Illinois. Recruit them.
And then they do this thing where they like go on their social media and commit to the program, right? Okay.
Right. So
and then websites, what do websites do when that happens?
Clickbait.
Oh, they do clickbait. So you're saying what I need to do is write these articles of like Eddie Fish joins Illini, just the offensive lineman we need. That's what I should be doing.
Exactly.
Okay. And yeah. I don't do that.
Low three-star Matt Bailey joins. Let's say he's four cruises.
All right. So okay. The facts speak for themselves. You've only written one letter of, looks like the University of Illinois.
Wait, did I do Hayden? I feel like I did Hayden too. Maybe two. Okay, two.
Definitely
Hayden. Definitely didn't get to McMillan. So I haven't done three. I think I've done two LLUOY.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it. From an outside perspective, though, from your perspective, it's the transfer portal age, the NIL age, extenuating circumstances for a specific recruit.
Yes.
From an outside perspective, it seems like you're not focused on the future during the season, which sometimes you add in the recruits to your depth charts.
Yes.
If you are focused, can you tell us what you're excited about a potential recruit that you've seen so far, and maybe a hot take about someone that you're not excited for based on what you've seen. And if you're not focused, explain why.
I'm kind of sad that Harkless decommitted because, and this will hold no weight now. I was going to go like two cruises. I didn't like his film, and I didn't believe some of the Georgia offers and all that stuff. Now he's going to end up going, you know, somewhere huge and a star.
Didn't he commit? Or I think he committed to Auburn, which is funny, but I think he committed to Auburn.
If it's Auburn, then it is funny. Yeah, Harkless was going to be my next Ruben Unaje. He's a four-star, but I give him two cruises and everybody throws things at me.
He committed to Auburn.
He committed to Auburn. Okay. I for some reason, I just didn't see it with him. I don't know why. Like, Carmen yelled at – like, people were mad at me when I'm sharing that opinion privately with people. I just didn't see it. I think Wilcher is a stud. I'm all about – I watched some of Wilcher's film, and I was like, that's a Ryan Walters athlete that he can turn into a defensive back. Let me just say this. So because I was so far behind and I finished the Looks Like University of Illinois posts for the 2022 class in June, and they enrolled in June, July, or August.
Some of them in January.
Some of them in January. And I saw them in the spring game before writing their Looks Like University of Illinois. So because I was so far behind, and with August starting when writing the preview, I decided that this year I'm just going to do these evaluations with senior film. I've always claimed, like, junior film lies and senior film tells you everything. I wrote that part of the preview of, like, look at how many of these players starting on this defense were late additions to classes. Even the stars that are coming up, like, I mean, the staff loves Xavier Scott. The staff loves Matt Bailey. You know, even the guys in this latest class, Akis, other, I'm going to say Akis so many times. Akis, I have to get this right. It is Akis. We sat around before the BLM press conference before Chattanooga talking to the SIDs about, is it Akis or Akis? And we got 100% confirmation, including a video with Gabe saying his last name, that he says Akis. And I have to get that right for the rest of the time. But I would say that because these players have shown that the later in the class or the when you have senior film, the players who like blow up later in December and January are the players to pay attention to, that I decided to take the easy way out and say, I'm not going to write any Looks Like University of Illinois posts until I can watch everybody's senior film and really give a true evaluation before they sign in December. So that's the current plan. As to players, I didn't like Harkless. There are some players, I'm going to be flat out honest, I haven't watched a second of film. Just because there's not, I mean, I haven't done my process of watching them and this and that. But I would say Wilsh is the guy who really stuck out to me.
Okay, without watching the film, this makes this question a little bit harder, even though.
It's fine. It's fine.
Where do you see the strengths and weaknesses of the roster in 23, 24, 25? But how much of a defensive drop-off do you see if we don't have any transfer portal changes?
My very first thought is who replaces Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph? Yeah. They are so much of everything on every running play. When they come out for a breather, there is a step back in every game when we're watching. If both were to decide this year, you know what, I'm draft eligible and it's time to go and go make some money, I don't know what you do. I mean, Bryce Barnes has been good as the third guy, you know, even backing both of them up, and he would have one more year, so I'd feel pretty good about him in his final year next year. But then, are you going to get this from said McConnell? Are you going to have to go to the transfer portal to find something? So my worry, I feel pretty good now with Gabe and with Seth Coleman playing this well, that you know, you're going to get some pressure from the edge, but Avery graduates. If Newton and Randolph go, I don't know what you do across those three positions next year. It could just be a massive step back because I'm not sure, you know, well, heck, does the class even have defensive tackles right now, you know? So, yeah, that's a huge, huge, huge concern. As far as positions of strength, I don't know. I feel pretty good about some of these younger linemen, surprisingly. Like, I feel different than I did 6 months ago. Offensive linemen. Like, I feel pretty good about Hunter Whitenack. I feel pretty good seeing some of Zach Barlev and even Josh Geske. I feel decently strong that, you know, Zai has been better than I thought. Isaiah Adams is better than I thought. He'll be an anchor of it next year. So I feel a little better about offensive line, surprisingly.
That leads us well to our next question, which was, how would you evaluate the play of the two JUCO guys, Isaiah Adams and Zai Chrisler?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have not seen the screens. Yeah. I have not viewed. I will now do this with a blindfold. I said, Carmen and I talked for an hour today because we're stupid. I told him I want him to make a choice between Slaughter and Chrisler soon and play. I mean, they like getting a breather here and there for even Adams, and, you know, they like having a sixth offensive lineman if it's Slaughter or Chrisler. But maybe it's last year once they finally settled on Bedovinac and just went with those five linemen. You know, they didn't play Pilstrom again. They didn't play Gerasati again. They just stuck with those five linemen, Penn State on, and the run game took off. Maybe it's that, but I just want to see that again. Carmen's big concern, if I can just out him on here, his big concern is offensive line. During the game, I was sitting with John from Field Pass and Dan from the Field Pass and my friend Brian, and I was reading them Carmen's texts as they were coming in during the game, and he was just like, failure of offensive line to push, failure to get a push, failure to get a push. Like, he's very concerned, like, if we can't dominate Chattanooga's offensive line, we're just going to have one of those games where we get 82 yards rushing, and it's like, oh, wait, now it's all falling apart, you know. And so his big concern is get that unit moving together and ready and fixed. So with that being said, because of our experience with offensive linemen, JUCO offensive linemen, because Zach Heath never got there, because Connor Brennan never got there, because Jordan Fagan never got there, you know, I came in with very low, JUCOs need a year and they're not going to be ready. So they're ahead of where I thought they would be, especially Zai. You know, he's 360 pounds when he gets here or whatever. I'm just thinking he's going to have to go on like a 2-year plan to just get into playing shape. He moves way better than I thought he would, way better than I expected. And so I'm impressed. So low expectations, impressed, but still I'm worried about a 212-yard offensive day total on Saturday, where we start to look at the rest of the roster or rest of the season, and like, oh, Iowa has a great run defense. Minnesota has a great run defense. When are we going to be able to move the ball again? So that's the concern.
Yeah, it was a little weird last game where it seemed like the pass game almost opened up the run a little bit. And most of the pass game was just play action, which is predicated on a good run, and probably because Chattanooga was selling out on the run. But we didn't have quite the push that maybe you would expect against an FCS team. Yes. So it was slightly concerning. Yes. And yes, even Chase Brown rushed for 100-something yards on 20 carries. But
yeah,
it wasn't like as easy as maybe we thought it would have been against an FCS team. And yes, Hopefully that's because Chattanooga's good.
Yes.
But
yeah, I mean, they were selling. Their selling point was their defensive ends. Their selling point was their defensive lineman. Craig Scout, you know, pointed this out, like, that's going to be the tough thing to overcome. So hopefully that is the case. You know, and I mean, it's Ohio State, but Ohio State ran all over Wisconsin. I don't know the last time they gave up that many yards. So hopefully there is something there. Like, I'm just going to keep saying this. Like, this game could give us so much of a boost toward, look, we can now toss all of the, but the schedule is going to get tougher soon out the window. If we face a good defense and move the ball and our defense stays as stout as it has been, then Katie bar the door.
Okay, so do you ever think about the talent in the 2020 DB room and wonder what happened? We had Hobbs, Kirby, Witherspoon, Brown, or Sidney, and Tony Adams all on the same team, and we let teams throw right over us.
That is a fantastic question. You know, on your little boardroom podcast, you should let Johnny ask some questions.
We do.
He's quite good at this.
Most of the time. Remember, you're not allowed to talk about Ryan Walters.
Oh, yes. I mean, stop, everyone. yes. I mean, we've done it before, right? Like before you guys were around, we had conversations about like the 2005, the 2006 defense. Like in 2005, we lost to Michigan State like 64-13, and then Penn State led 56-3 at the half. Those same defenders 2 years later are in the Rose Bowl dominating. And so you look back at like, how was that deep? How, you know, like 56-3 at halftime is as bad of football as you've ever seen. And then, you know, and the linebackers were Jay Layman and Brett Miller. Like, you know, like it, sometimes it just takes time, but you're right. Like in 2020, Hobbs is a fourth year player. Adams is a fourth year player. Kirby's a third year. Kwan's a third year. I have no idea. Like that Wisconsin game, like Graham Mertz looks like a superstar. We get beat on that same tight end route like three consecutive times. Like how we go from, like say we win on Saturday, to go from what it was October 23rd of 2020 to what this defense has been, if it shows up again like that on Saturday, is remarkable. I mean, look. You guys know me. You guys know that I'm a Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's guy. And you know that I have said, you know, I spend a lot of time saying like, look, it's not the coordinator. It's the, you know, I'm the stop talking about Ryan Walters guy. He's great, by the way. But you know, like this is the kind of season that would make me be like, yeah, there are some coaches who are so good that you just have to throw all that out and say they can look at a guy and say, I'm going to bring the best out of that guy. And Ryan Walters can turn Kirby Joseph from a guy that nobody even knew his number to first team All Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big Lovie Smith defender for a long time, and I just kept saying, well, once he gets like NFL talent, then the 4-3 defense of Tampa 2 is going to work. Yep. And then 2020, your NFL talent is playing receiver and not safety. Like,
yes.
That Kirby Joseph.
A third round draft pick had been moved after 2 years of defensive back, had been moved to wide receiver for the 2020 season. And then his first team All Big Ten in 2021.
And yeah, I mean, I was making this excuse against Indiana, but I was like, if we just had Kirby, we win that. Like, they don't throw for 330 yards. Could you imagine this defense? We're top 10 right now. Would we be a top 5 defense if we had Kirby Joseph?
Mm-hmm. My phone just buzzed there. We're going to do a little interlude here. The phone buzz there was Mr. Martin O'Donnell. Mr. Martin O'Donnell's text was Friday beers where? ? So I'm just going to put this out there. I'm going to tweet it on Friday night. Martin and I are having beers at a bar somewhere in Madison. If you're in town, come find us. I will tweet it. Seriously, come find us. Do you know how embarrassing it is when you say, hey, guys, come find us? And then people are like, hey, how many people showed up there? And then you just say, like, oh, no, nobody showed up. I don't think anybody follows me on Twitter. So I'm just putting this out there on the podcast. If you're in Madison on Friday night, check my Twitter because you'll see a bar, and Martin and I are going to be drinking beers and talking Illini football. We're going to do this for the rest of the road games of the year. He's there. I'm there. We're going to have Friday beers, and we're going to have you join us. That was my little sales pitch. Look at me. I'm sales pitch guy. Go ahead with your question. What are we on now?
We are on question 9.
How far are we in?
34 minutes in.
Okay. We're doing good.
We're doing good. Say we're 5-6 going into Northwestern.
God bless America.
What do those 24 hours before the game look like to you?
I mean, personally?
Yeah, you.
I won't eat. I won't sleep. I mean, I did this for the Mason Mannheim Jihad War game 2015. In 2015.
Yeah.
Oh God. You know what? I was just ready? So where did I eat? Where did I tell you guys I ate before I came over here?
Potbelly's.
Uh-huh. What was the last time I ate at a Potbelly?
That day. Yeah.
I was at a Potbelly when Cubitt was announced as the 2-year interim or whatever was announced. And I'm trying to like explain. I was sitting with my wife in the Potbelly. What is that mall on Michigan Avenue up almost all the way to the beach there?
Water Tower Place?
No. So if you keep going north, you're like a block from where Michigan kind of like hits. Does it hit Lakeshore there?
Yeah, I'm still.
Okay, so you maybe like 3 blocks from that. On the west side of Michigan, there's like a 7-level mall that you go in, and I don't know what it is. Is it Water Tower Place?
I'm still going to go with Water Tower Place.
Okay. I thought Water Tower Place was at the building, the one with the
Hancock?
Yes.
It's like right there.
Oh.
Unless I'm missing it. But.
Okay. Anyway, there's a Potbelly there, and I was sitting in that Potbelly with my wife, and I get the email that says Bill Cubitt extended for 2 more years. And I sat there trying to explain to her what it meant. Like I was trying to explain to her what kind of fan base meltdown it would be. I'm like, I just need you to understand.
We're looking at the map
over here. It's like it's there somewhere.
We're looking at a map still. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Please hold. Keep talking.
Please hold. We're going to find the... Actually, search for Potbelly and see where it is there.
That's probably the better move.
Yes. There's a bunch of escalators inside, and you go up, and there's like a Nordstrom at the back, I think, or something like that. And we ate at that Potbelly, and that will forever be the Bill Cubitt Potbelly for me. Anyway, I was trying to explain to her, like, here's... Like, you need to understand what kind of... This is a DEFCON 1... The entire fan, their people are going to revolt for years. Like, this will cause people to quit being fans. This move right here.
There'd be like 37K at a 37K in attendance at a Thursday night Chattanooga game sometime in 2022. That's what's going
to
happen
when you give away 10,000 tickets to students and faculty.
I was going to say what you were saying. Like, it probably wasn't going to be ideal. But yeah. It may not have put a dagger in the heart of the program.
Do you know my story about that?
No.
Okay. So my wife and I are sitting there, get that email. We had gone shopping, did some Christmas shopping that morning, went back to our hotel. I went to Soldier Field. I go up into the press box. I walk into the press box, and that little media scrum is starting with, who was the assistant AD? I can't.
Paul Kowalczyk.
Yes, Paul Kowalczyk. So the not ideal press conference is happening. I look at the scrum and I'm like, I mean, what is that? That's the nothing. What are we going to learn from that? So I go over and they had like, you know, pizza. What's the Pequod? Is it Pequods?
Yeah.
They had like pizza there. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to try this. Just had Potbelly, but I'm not going to say no to this pizza I haven't tried. And so what do I do when like the quote of the decade is happening, when the meltdown begins, when he's actually saying not a dagger in the heart of the program? I was eating a piece of pizza 42 minutes after Potbelly. Okay. Was there a question?
The Northwestern somewhere? 5-6. What are you doing the
24th? Oh, yes. Yes. I'm going to Potbelly. I'm crying. So this will be my first time. I'm breaking my streak this year. So I've never covered a Northwestern football or basketball game at Northwestern. I have avoided it as much as I possibly could. It's the last basketball arena I haven't been in, and it's one of the two. I haven't been to Maryland football, so it's one of two football places I haven't been. But it dies this year because I need to be there. Yes, 2015, there's no bigger nightmare to me than 5-6 losing to Northwestern to go 5-7. I mean, it was about to happen in 2014. I didn't sleep. I couldn't breathe, and then we won in 2014 up at Northwestern, and got to 6-6 and went to a bowl game. And that one was just like, oh my God, we just beat Penn State with a miracle field goal. You know, are we going to do this whole thing? Are we going to climb all the way back to get this close to a bowl game and then lose to Northwestern to be sent home? It's the worst possible feeling in the world. Again, maybe what one of the 17 means now is I'm one of the 17 fans, Illinois football fans, who believes Northwestern to be our true rival. And I dislike them in a way that that Auburn fans dislike Alabama, that Michigan fans dislike Ohio State. I am sick to my stomach over the fact that they've been better than us for the last 20 years. And to lose to them if we were 5-6 is just as low as I can get as a football fan. But it's not going to happen. Sorry. I just blew people's
ears out. The mic thing just went boom. What is the this is a Dan question, sorry.
Okay, first non-Johnny question?
No. You had
we get to yours?
You had my recruiting question.
Josh's was the looks like university.
Recruiting again, that's where the players pick. Okay, clickbait.
What is the number of Big Ten basketball titles that you would trade for one Big Ten football title?
Wow. That is a fantastic question. I'm going to text Dan right now, live on the air.
I literally just
say...
When I opened the Google Doc and I saw all these questions, I literally said, oh, what's this question? This is great.
The two words I responded back to Dan when he texted me that was fantastic question.
It's so good.
He's at the Cardinals Brewers game. Is that right? Isn't that what he said he was doing? Is that? Yeah, that's tonight. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so maybe he won't respond. Okay. Talk this out with me. So what do we think Illinois basketball is going to do in the next 10 years? Three
national championships.
No, three was the number for me too of Big Ten. Yeah. Just how many we're going to get in the next 10 years, not the trade-off.
Not counting last year.
So yes.
Three from 22 to 31. 10 seasons, we win three Big Ten titles. That's like...
That's insane. In my mind, that's insane. That's like, no. I think we have.
Right, but look at Wisconsin's run for.
Okay,
look,
I forget this.
Look how mad Johnny got just when I said that.
Yeah.
That was neat. That was my face when we talk about what if Northwestern beats us to send us to 5-7?
Yeah, no, that was funny.
How many Wisconsin win from like 2000.
We're talking regular season.
2000 to 2020. To 2020. How many regular season titles?
I mean, you should really do six. 2002 to 22, right? Because,
that's what it is. The same amount.
And
six.
20.
Six.
Okay, yeah.
Six. Six over 20 years?
Yeah.
So three in 10 years is yeah, it probably is a little crazy.
They count
but
this
we're
year.
Totally going to win four, right? I mean, it might be five.
I'm clipping the net. You guys laughed at me when I said national championships. I'm clipping that.
Okay, yes.
And whatever social media we use in 10 years.
Okay, so then the question is, would I trade those three for one? Oh, good Lord. Okay, I have a way out. I found an escape route. As long as we win that national title in basketball, I don't care as much about the Big Ten title in basketball. We broke the long streak this year. We're hanging a banner in November. What game are we doing that? I wonder if it's the opener. Tyler might be
the way your brain moves is insane.
Okay. So I need to figure out what game we're doing that because I need to be there for that because I think I told Tyler to cover the opener because I might be traveling for football and that's a little worrisome. Okay, so yes, my focus for basketball is national title and my focus for football is Big Ten title.
That's secretly why you've always been anti-expansion of the college football playoff.
Yes.
It's because you're like, I want the Rose Bowl win and contextualize it in a way that is available and not... Yes. If there's 12 teams,
yes,
you have to be very lucky about winning the semifinal game that is the Rose Bowl game. Yep. Like,
I mean, I've told people this story several times, but I almost didn't go to the Rose Bowl in 2007. I have these stupid things I say that when, like, my wife is great because she'll press me on things and like, do you really mean that? Or is that just something you've said for a long time? I have always said, after the 84 Rose Bowl and this and that, whenever we get back to the Rose Bowl, I want to watch it on TV, because just the idea of turning on the TV on New Year's afternoon and seeing Illinois would be this great joy for me. And so when we made the Rose Bowl, I told people, like, I don't know if I'm going to go in 07. And my wife, God bless her, like, look, I don't know much about your little sport over here, but I'm pretty sure this is a massive deal. And you're saying you want to watch it on TV? And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And so I went. And seeing the sunset over those mountains in the Rose Bowl with an orange end zone is as good as it gets for a college football fan. And I remember walking out that night, like, if I could walk out with a win, like, I don't know if it would get any, but that's better than a Big Ten title. That's like the ultimate for me. And so that's when I settled on the two things I need are Rose Bowl and a national title for basketball. So I'm going to take the easy way out and say I would trade all three for one Big Ten football, because hopefully, depending on what the playoff does, hopefully it would get me to the Rose Bowl and I could see that win. And then, even though we finished second in the Big Ten, we go on to win a national title and I get both.
That would be amazing. Two things on that. One of my top 10 favorite reread Illini Board articles is you explaining the walk to the Rose Bowl. Definitely recommend listening to that. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think a Big Ten football title is so significant just because it means you beat Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
It's just, not only is it Illinois football winning a Big Ten, but like, just any team winning a Big Ten basketball title, significantly higher chances than anyone winning a Big Ten football title, just because you got to give Ohio State like somewhere between 50 and 70% chance of winning the league every year.
Right.
And then you give the remaining 20% to Michigan and Penn State.
And if they go pods when USC and UCLA join and the Big Ten title game is 1-2, I mean, no longer is it just, you know, look at this year, like winning the Big Ten West looks possible, you know.
Do you want to read question 15, Josh?
With conference realignment happening. With conference realignment happening and likely pods, do you think Illinois missed a huge opportunity from the mid-2010s to now by not taking advantage of an open Big Ten West and Rutgers as an annual opponent?
100,000,000%, yes.
Johnny was
with a tiny qualifier, we're still in the Big Ten West, and there's only one ranked team in the Big Ten West right now. And if we win the next three games, we're the favorite in the Big Ten West. Say that again. If we win the next three games. You know what I did? I'm going to do it. So I've already jinxed it, so I'm just going to do it, okay? I was on the radio this afternoon with Lauren Tate and Scott Beatty. I did it from – I parked on some street in Gold Coast. I was on my way here. I just didn't know where I was going, and I had to do the radio, so I pulled off. And as soon as I'm on the radio, some massive – like a bunch of ambulances go past. I'm like trying to cover the speaker. That was all. None of that mattered to anything I'm about to say. Okay. And I said, you'll probably get mad at me when I say this.
Probably.
Because it's going to sound like a
joke. I was laughing at Johnny talking about, like, I was thinking about, like, if an Alabama fan somehow turns on this podcast and us beating Ohio State in a Big Ten title game, like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, who was it? Your tweet? Was your tweet the Isaiah Williams?
That
Chase
was
Brown
me.
Tweet?
That was me.
Yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
leading rusher and their wide receiver. Bryce Young doesn't have enough help. Bryce Young doesn't have enough help. People are saying.
I mean. So here's the jinx I did today. If we win this week, and we win next week, game day might be in Champaign for number 20 Illinois versus number 9 Minnesota.
Chills. Nice 11 o'clock game for homecoming.
I'm looking up who's playing else that weekend. Mm-hmm. Did you look it up? Because that's
I didn't. I just went on the radio and jinxed it by saying win this weekend, win two games. If Minnesota's undefeated, you're probably getting game day.
And you feel like they're more inclined to do it before the Big Ten deal ends and everything like that?
Yes,
like
100%.
This is now. This is
if
the time
they're ever
to do
going
it.
To go yeah. to Illinois, yeah. it would be number 20 Illinois against number 9
for homecoming.
Yes, for homecoming.
I don't think that matters as much. Actually.
Chills.
Yes. Uh huh. And it's 11 a.m. game, so they could do the whole like lead in yeah. straight to, and fill the Grange Grove with people. And I mean, how many times have I done this though? I've said these things of like, look, we are two wins away from that, and then like we lose to South Florida by 37, and it's like, what words was I even saying? I'm sure there's some SEC game.
I haven't found it yet.
Alabama, Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin.
Do you want me to go with the next question, Johnny?
One thing
that
I
was a fun. Can you clip that? Oh, I'm doing the editing. I just want to clip that sound.
Yeah,
that could be the Johnny sound. It could be like a ringtone. Like anytime Johnny texts me, it just goes
like an eel or a seal. One thing that we were talking about the conference realignment, it made me happy that we won a Big Ten title in this set of 14 mm-hmm. in basketball, just because it's going to be difficult with 16 teams, including UCLA. Yes. USC is good.
Yes.
It was really nice to. We did it with 11 teams in 05 and other years, but like it's very relieving we got it in the 14 team iteration.
I hate to burst your bubble right now.
Oh boy. What do you got?
Alabama at Tennessee.
Well, they just went to Tennessee. They wouldn't go back.
Wait, did they go this year?
Weren't they at Tennessee on Saturday? I think they were at Tennessee on Saturday. I didn't
watch. I think they were.
They went to it twice.
Okay.
Penn State at Michigan. Were they there earlier?
I don't know if they've done Michigan this year, but
Clemson at an
save that for Ohio State, Michigan, uh-huh. right?
Clemson at Florida State, and then here's the one that I'm actually the most nervous about right now.
Uh-huh.
It's their only potential like good Pac-12 game. It's USC at Utah. See, that's like their only good game that they would ever get in the Pac-12.
You're right. But still, we're just going to manifest.
Counterpoint. Illinois, Big Ten football can't beat it.
Have you sat next to Johnny in a game yet this year?
No. Does he say that a lot?
Anytime Tommy does anything, he'll go,
Illinois, Big Ten football can't beat it.
Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
Yes. Oh, man.
Oh, that's good stuff.
All right. Speaking of Big Ten titles,
uh-huh.
What's your confidence level in our special teams unit?
Bum, bum, like what's Hughes punting average right now?
It's so bad.
Didn't it drop into the 30s?
It's got to be in the 30s.
Yeah, I mean, like in the spring game, he was booming the ball. These shanks are just killing his average.
37.0.
And what is Caleb's overall? Is he, what, 3 for 7? What would he be now?
I think he's 4 for 8.
Hugh is, they don't even, can't give him a number of like, he's over 150th ranked average punter in the, like ESPN like ranks the punters like based on their average, and he's 150 plus.
Wow.
Okay, 5 for 9 for Caleb. He is 14 for 14 on PATs.
Okay, so, I mean, right there, right? I mean... Look, we talked about it last year with Bill Conley's statistics of what gave us our best SP plus in 10 years or whatever, you know, because we were a 37 defense or whatever and 103 offense or however it ended up. But we were number one in special teams last year in Conley's formula because the punting was great, the inside the 20, you know, all the stuff he get the pulls from special teams. Of like, are you allowing punt returns or are you, you know, forcing fair catches and are you pinning deep and, you know, what's your coverage units doing and all that stuff. Everything was good and we were number one. So, yeah, I mean, look, this is the thing that can turn a, you know, this is how you turn a potential 8-4 season into 5-7 or something with that. The thing that has me is that I've seen Hugh, like, I'll just say it, like, Hugh has a bigger leg than Blake Hayes. Blake Hayes, the reason he's not in the NFL is because he didn't have the booming, deep punt. As far as spin and direction, he was the king. And as far as, you know, inside the 20 and not having touchbacks, that's what made him so great. But Hugh can boom it. It's just these shanks are killing. Now, I've heard that, you know, a guy I knew who was a punter said, like, the difference between the shank and the perfect punt, like, that's right on the edge. Like, the punters that learn, you know, you're trying to get that spin on the ball to hit the deep spiral. And the more you try to do that, the closer you are to the shank kind of thing. It's like golf and, like, you know, the hosel or whatever. But yeah, it's a huge concern. Like, we've been really good in that area for a long time, you know, and not just James McCourt, you know, McLaughlin before him. And, you know, we've had some solid punters, and Justin Duvernoy was all conference one year. And, you know, it's just, it's the thing that could derail some things.
Yeah, I do wonder with Hugh, like, he's played in zero football games in his life before this. You can practice punting so many times, just like shooting free throws. You can practice them, but yep, you just need that game experience. Yep. And maybe that's a little bit of driving the shanks. It's like, you just need to operate so quickly when you have guys coming at you and it's live. Yep. So hopefully.
Yep. And that one running out, didn't sense the guy behind him. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm,
that was scary.
Yeah, that was really scary. But I mean, well, look, we saw the same with Blake. These guys don't have the instincts that, you know, other people growing up playing football their whole life have. But yeah, that's a downer question, Johnny.
Yes.
Because that's the let the wind out of the sails kind of thing that could really hurt.
Okay, back to some positivity. And this one might be a sacrilegious question. Would you trade a 10-2 season for a 9-3 season with a Chase Brown Heisman? And I looked it up, Lamar Jackson, 9-3 season, Heisman. So there is some precedent, obviously, quarterbacks versus running backs, big difference. Jonathan Taylor.
9-3 versus 10-2?
Yeah. Just because I'll let you answer it and then.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my first thought is, does that cost us a Big Ten title to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously that's the thing. Because it's not going to happen, but a Chase Brown Heisman would be so massive for the program because it put Illinois football back on the map.
Yeah, and recruiting, right? Yes. Like, you can be like,
it would no longer be, you know, the joke of the program that we're viewed. So it would be a massive boost. Yes, Heisman would be way bigger a boost than Illinois went 10-2 versus Illinois went 9-3. Now, if you told me Illinois has a chance to go to the Rose Bowl versus they lose that chance and Chase Brown gets the Heisman, I'd probably want to go to the Rose Bowl because you get a big boost from that as well. But that's hard to say. I mean, here's the thing. This, like, the Rose Bowl, like, we've been over it before, right? The 08 class had, like, 9 NFL players. Zook on that day, you know, somebody asked him, Rivals has your class ranked 24th. And in that press conference, he was like, guys, this is a top 5 class nationally. I won't take it. Like, you don't understand. You don't understand how far off those lists are. Ask any college coach, ask anyone. This is the class. And it was. I mean, that was the Whitney Merciless class. And, you know, he had a ton of NFL players in that class. And they knew it. That's the kind of thing that a Rose Bowl can do. Like, that just opened doors to players. Maybe they weren't ranked that highly, but ask any other college coach, that's who everybody was after. And that's, you know, they were able to get rolling that fall of 07 with the really good season and really top off the class in December and January. And by the time everybody signed in February, that was an epic class. So, yeah, getting to the Rose Bowl could be a huge boost to recruiting. And if it goes in that vein, I want to go to the Rose Bowl. If it's just 9-3 versus 10-2, give me the Heisman and get the Illinois football boost.
Love that. Okay, how do you think 2018 Robert would respond to being told that in 2022, Michael Marques is our leading tight end receiver? Think about how many things you have to explain.
Yes, yes. What year is the first Robert I'm telling?
2018. So I'm thinking right after that USF game.
Yes, yes.
Then you're saying, Robert, it's going to be okay in 4 years.
Okay, so we're going to the Robert that got caught on film in the end zone.
One of the greatest videos of all time.
Yes. Like
the 30 for 30.
Yes. Praying to the sky of why does this always happen to me?
One of the best lines dropped from that, though, that you've ever said.
What's that?
A commuter school from Tampa gets to have more fun than I do. Why?
It's true. I stand by that.
One of the best.
What do we hit on the little one? The stand by that on the. Little
I didn't. I wasn't readout. Looking at that.
Okay. yeah, yeah. I mean, that's. I mean, I look. We have a long program of walk on to tight end. I've always said, like, if you want to walk on to a college football program, play tight end or be that kind of body type, because people always need blockers and they always need guys who will stick their nose in there and you could carve out a role. And we did it with Eddie Valunas, and we did it with Tim Clary, and we did it with Nate Eckerd. And by the way, did you know Nate Eckerd's brother was The Bachelor? That was just a little fun fact for you.
Did not know that.
Okay. You can tell your fiance that she'll be very impressed. In fact, I wonder if that means Nate Eckerd was on the Bachelor. They do the hometowns. He had to be on the hometown thing, right? I need to look that up. This is how my brain works. You guys get to see it in motion happening. Well, you got to see it at Michigan State, but now you get to really see it. We have this long history of walk-ons becoming contributing tight ends. And so I probably would have believed it just based on that. Like if you would have said Marques is the next Nate Eckerd or Tim, Eckerd started as a linebacker. He's the next Tim Clary. I would have believed it based on that. Based on him biting on that route and South Florida converting 3rd and 19 for the winning touchdown with 2 minutes to go. I would have had a little trouble in that moment while staring at the sky, wondering why. God, you know what the worst thing about that game was? Like, I went down to the end zone. I was there when Ricky Smalling, and I didn't have any bearing as to
whether. Oh, we were standing right above you then.
Yes. I didn't, from where I'm standing, I don't have like a sense. Like, if I'm in the stands looking, I see the end zone. I didn't know the throw was like, I'm just watching Ricky. I'm like, he's got to step on this guy. He's got to step on this guy. And I have no bearing from behind that this thing is going to land 10 yards out of bounds. I had this, like, am I about to watch this great final moment in Illinois? No, I'm not. No, that was 20 feet out of bounds.
Yeah, Josh and I drove back. We were master students at Illinois from. We went down for the game and then drove back the next day, and we were listening to the From the Stands on our drive back.
Mm-hmm.
So entertaining, like painful. But Robert saying, "Get the ball to your ball winner," like 30 times. Like you did the entire drive, which was awesome. I really enjoy hearing that when we win, and sometimes painfully when we lose, but that was a great one. So yeah, but explaining that, it sounds like clearly there were some maybe deficiencies there at safety for him. Very happy. Would be funny to just explain COVID and explain, like, he's going to there's going to be a pandemic.
Yeah.
He's going to get a red shirt that year.
Yes.
Then he's eventually going to switch.
And he's going to get a sixth year, and in that sixth year, this just makes me wonder, is he the first – I wonder the last Illinois player to have 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, because he's got 2 picks. Because I remember running that stat of, like, going into Nate Hobbs' senior year, Nate Hobbs had 2 picks, and Michael Marques had 2 picks. So I wonder when the last Illinois player to get 2 touchdowns – I would have to –
Steve Hall, right?
Yeah,
he had 3 interceptions.
Okay, then it's Steve Hall. Yeah, before that had been Kelvin Hayden. I'm sure Kelvin Hayden did it. He did a year at wide receiver and a year at safety after JUCO before he went to the NFL. But it was fun. God, you pulled Steve Hall really quick. That was impressive, Johnny. My brain.
I did not know he had that in him.
I mean, Steve Hall, that was 2013, right? I mean, I was a senior in high school. Like, just being like, let's go Illini.
That's right.
Nate Shieldhouse.
993 yards receiving. Seven short of 1,000.
Yes. I just looked at his stat. That's insane. And I guess you were researching that, and that leads great into my next question, which is last year, our stagnant offense, it seemed like there wasn't a lot of talent in the wide receiver room aside from Isaiah. Do you feel significantly different now?
Pat Bryant being good would be the biggest game changer on this team because it gives you a second receiver, and it gives you a bigger target, and it gives you a deep threat and not just the slot guy who can get open. If Pat Bryant can continue this against better teams, it is game changer for this offense. I mean, we have Dudek in 14 and A.J. Jenkins in 11 as the only 1,000-yard receivers of the last, 13 years or whatever. And if Pat Bryant is putting up that kind of season, or even if Isaiah puts up that kind of season, it's mass. I mean, just look at the – look at the 14 offense once it had Dudek and what, you know, able, the ability to get to a bowl. Look at the 11 offense and the and what A.J. Jenkins meant and the ability for that team to get to a bowl. He basically won four of those first six games by himself. So, yes, Pat Bryant is the game-changing performance. I'm trying to think. He used to be sponsored by Pontiac years ago. There would be like they would name like the Pontiac game-changing performance.
Prairie Farm Student Athlete of the Week.
Yes, okay.
Mia Rabinowitz, shout out.
So the Prairie Farm Student Athlete of the Week. We're open for sponsors here on We Love No Other. The Prairie Farms Wide Receiver Moment of the Week. Like, I wish Bryant would have had that 80-yard touchdown back, because those would have been stats that have made everybody like, whoa. Well, you know, not just the, hey, check out his PFF score or whatever. That would have been, oh, hey, he's Big Ten Player of the Week, and now everybody knows his name, and everybody understands, and, you know, he's if he is that good, and again, this was just Chattanooga, but if he is that good, nothing could change this offense more than having that kind of receiver. We just have, I mean, look, we've got a ball winner in Bebe, right? You've got somebody you can throw jump balls to, but when is the last time we had that receiver doing what these Pat Bryant routes? It's been so long. The Minnesota routes, I call them. Like, Minnesota and Iowa have had a Pat Bryant for 10 years now, almost every year. And we just haven't had that kind of receiver. We've had the slot guy. We've had Dudek. We've got Isaiah Williams. We've had the, you know, we've had Gmo, I guess, was maybe that deep threat guy. Malik Turner was good. But there just hasn't been that shifty, smooth, fluid, body control receiver. And if we do have that, it's a game changer.
Yeah, the Rashad Bateman, the Tyler Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys were
awesome.
So hopefully Pat Bryant is that guy. And hopefully it takes him a little while. Like, hopefully this is good year, next year, great.
And then one more, Johnny.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not losing him after three, Johnny. Not on my watch. We got
pretty high.
And kind of going into that, like you wrote earlier about draft decisions for a lot of the guys when you were talking about 23 depth chart and the dudes with eligibility, that's a huge factor in our success next year. Randolph, Newton, Isaiah, Chase. Yep. Do you genuinely believe that we can win the West if everyone comes back?
I feel like there's one main position that won't be here next year that's on the team this year that would prevent.
Would that be Thomas DeVito?
Yeah, sorry. I should have let Robert answer the question.
No, I want you to do that. I was lost. Keep going with that.
No, it's just that for four games, Tommy has been that Wisconsin quarterback that you've been writing about.
Yes, yes.
But it's been against, obviously, we'll put the outlier, I mean, the whatever I want to say, the straggler thing.
Yes.
It's crap competition.
Yes.
But he's done what
Virginia's defense is pretty good. Yes.
He's done exactly what we've wanted him to do. So if he continues that, then obviously great.
That's a game changer. And yes, next year, what do you do?
Well, good news. I'm forging medical records that state in 2017 he was redshirted.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Because of a back issue.
Uh-huh. I just hoped he went to the doctor for something.
Yeah.
Anything. Just some documentation of a pulled hamstring. Yes. By the way, I tweeted during the game. So I was in the stands. I was sitting with Dan and John and my friend Brian. And Sikowski starts warming up. So I zoomed in and tweeted that picture of Sikowski warming up. A, just to say, hey, Sikowski's coming in. But B, hoping that I get a bunch of people and be like, oh, your boy's getting ready. And everyone nobody trolled me. I am throwing myself out there to be trolled. You have to do it.
I would have been one of those people if I remembered. I feel like we all just caught up that, hey, we have a quarterback coming in because we're winning by a lot.
Right.
Not because we're
third quarter and we're going to the backup. Yes.
So maybe that's why I didn't think about it.
Yes. I am opening myself up for, I deserve it. I need to take it. What was the question again?
Winning the Big Ten West.
Next year?
Yeah, if everyone comes back.
No, because we're winning it this year and they're all going away. Oh my God, I just broke it. No, I didn't. I think it's flat. No, I think I broke it.
Whatever you did to this table made all four mics go to all three mics go to
Did I buy these or no?
You bought it first.
I bought these things?
You bought them.
Because I just broke this one.
Oh, this thing? No, this is us.
Uh-huh. The one thing you guys bought, I just broke?
Yeah.
Did we buy? I don't think we did.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's cracked. Yeah, I totally broke it. Okay. All right,
it's Sam's stand.
Oh, this is Sam's stand? He talked that one time. That was a joke. Love you, Sam. Yes, 2017. Are we winning the Big Ten West next year? Oh, look at you. Look at you. All right. I'm going to take this with me as my memento for... what I broke while I was at doing the podcast. see, but push one of the legs up, you'll see the crack. See that crack? Yeah, there it goes. That's what I broke. This is solid podcasting. This is the kind of stuff I love. Yeah, it's weird how my brain is so switched to this year that when you read that question, my very first thought is, well, no, this is the year. You know, we have the quarterback somehow. We have Chase Brown in his final year. Everything's aligning with getting Paucho and Marquez back for a sixth year. Everybody on this defense is blossoming at the same time. Quan's breakout season is happening while Newton Randolph are stepping into their own and Avery put it together. You know, all my thoughts go to this year instead of next year. Which is so weird because, look, 2 years ago when we were talking about 2022.
Cliff year.
That's the cliff. That's when everything is gone. And then, you know, we've patched up some of these and some players have completely emerged and we got a bonus year. I mean, look, if we didn't have COVID, Calvin Avery's not here. I mean, how many of these guys, Pilstrom's not here, Paucho's not here.
Kwan's not here, Sydney's not here.
Yes, all of them would have graduated last year. So... so many stars have aligned. God, I just want to beat Wisconsin and then I can fully let my brain go to all these places because I'm still in this, 0-3 in the next three games and it's 2015 and you know, it's just 2015 again. We started 4-1 that year. We won one more game at Purdue and that was that. And we finished 5-7 and Cubitt was extended and I eat pot belly.
Well, we are on question 17.
This is just one of the 17 questions. Do you see the smile on my face when I say that? I'm so proud of myself.
Last year we played in 10 close games and 2 blowouts.
Yes.
The 2 blowouts being?
Lost to Wisconsin 24-0 and lost to Virginia 42-14.
Clearly Virginia played out differently.
Yes.
How do you think we match up with Wisconsin the second time?
Hot damn, that's a good question. Is that Johnny again?
So it's Johnny's question, but I feel like I asked it in a good way. Yes.
Okay. But time out. I did write, clearly Virginia played out differently.
Yes. I'm going to award 71% to Johnny and 29% to Josh. Read it again. Read it again. I need to. I want to formulate. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Clearly, Virginia played out differently. How do we think we will match up against Wisconsin the second time around?
The reason I'm pausing is because I have spent so much of my entire sports life backing my 10 toward the positive brain off of moments like this. Because I spent, you know, I just have learned over the years that, you know, 2009, remember, I'm 2009, first year of the blog, I'm out there saying Illinois football is about to go 10-2, okay? We have two Heisman candidates in Juice Williams and Aurelius Benn. Vegas had the over-under at either 7.5 or 8, like an over of 8 for Illinois football. I'm at 10. It's going to happen, and we go 3-9. And it's this biggest, you know, I really wasn't, I was fledgling on Twitter. I had just started my Twitter account. I had just, this is the first year that I covered for the blog. And because I got my first ever blowback, because I got my first ever, like, wow, I put these words out there, and now they're coming back with some heat right now. Like, I'm catching a lot. It changed me as a fan to be like, okay, yes, I'm that positive guy, but I got to be careful here, you know? And so over the years, I mean, look, the Lovey thing was another one. I go to the 2017 camp. I see that the upperclassmen are bad. I see that the freshmen are the only hope. I say it's going to be 25 games before we even learn anything. I hold on to Lovey. I hold on. I say wait for 2020, and that it doesn't happen. And that's big lesson number two, because I had people telling me back in 2017, don't mislead people, don't lead them down this path, you know, this and that. Look, we're sitting here because of October 12th, 2019. That was another thing. I put the date out there. We get all the way. You guys are there in the stadium. We high five. It's going to happen. Matt Robinson comes in. Suddenly it's 28-25. Dre Brown scores a touchdown. We think we're about to win. And then it doesn't happen, and I have all these moments. So all of those moments have taught me to sit here and say, look, it's Wisconsin. We know what happens at Wisconsin. We haven't won there since 2002. 20 years needs to teach us some lessons. We thought we were going to win in 2008. We didn't. We thought we were going to win in 2006. We didn't. You know, just learn your lesson. We're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. I've learned that so many times. However, like sitting here in this moment, thinking about Virginia and how much we flipped that, thinking about what Wisconsin looked like last weekend and their loss to Washington State, I'm back to these moments where I feel like I can say, like, this is a legitimate team with a legitimate coaching staff that has a real chance to win on Saturday. I think we can flip that script. I think I can say it's going to be a close game. I don't think we're getting blown out. Might not win, but I feel like it's going to be a close game. And only Illinois fans will know what I mean when I say this. That feels so good. Because it's just, you people don't understand what it is to be hopeless for years of saying, like, okay, 25 games, we won't learn anything. Maybe 2019 will be good again. Maybe we'll turn the program around on October 12th, 2019. So to live my life like that for so long and then to be standing right here of like, you know, I just tweeted that chart of like, wait, is Illinois statistically one of the 20 best teams in college football right now? Yeah, kind of. You know, adjust for the competition. Yeah. Holding Virginia to 3, shutting out Chattanooga, holding Wyoming to 6. Those are significant things that were pulled off. So I'm glad this is the last question because I'm going on this long diatribe here, but like, it does feel different. So I do think we can flip the script, and it is going to be a close game on Saturday. I don't know yet. I won't know until Friday night if we're going to win or lose, but it feels different. It really, like, I just described 13 years of doing this, and this moment feels different. I literally broke your chair. That was the greatest moment in podcast history, and I literally leaned back to admire myself, and broke your chair.
It's got to be a sign, right?
Yes. That'll do it for We Love No Other, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. I literally broke a chair. Go Illini.